Yes, this speaks to me, like, on so many levels and in a very instinctual, intuitive way that I just loved.
Hey, you're listening to the Creative Pep Talk Podcast. This show is about commercial art, making a good living, and making great art. Is it even possible? Let's figure that out together. I'm your host, Andy J. Pizza. You can find my work at Andy J. Pizza on Instagram. Thanks to our syndicate, Illustration Age. You can find this show at illustrationage.com/creativepeptalk. Let's get into the show. This episode is sponsored by AstroPad. AstroPad is an app that turns your iPad into a professional graphics tablet for your Mac. It works with any Mac app, so you can use creative tools like Photoshop and Illustrator right on your iPad. Check out astropad.com to learn more. Yo, we got a big interview on the show today. My friend Yao Chang comes into the Creative Pep Talk universe for a fantastic interview. I talked to her about all kinds of great stuff. Her work is phenomenal. If you're unfamiliar, you are going to eat it up. It is gorgeous watercolor work. Super, super tasty. Yao and I are actually going to be speaking at the Midwest Craft Con February 10th to the 12th. Go get your tickets. They hooked you up with a 20% off. 20%. That's incredibly generous. Just enter the code PEP, P-E-P, and you will get that. If you're in the area, you're in the Midwest, come meet me. Come listen to me talk. You won't be disappointed. I'm sure it's going to be a phenomenal time. Thank you so much, Midwest Craft Con. Okay, so one last reminder that if you love the Creative Pep Talk podcast and you need more pizza in your life, not actual pizza, but Dr. Pizza, you can take the MFBA class. Well, you can apply. There's 10 spots. We already have tons of applications, but the deadline is this Friday at midnight. January 27th at midnight. Get your application in. Don't forget. Don't be late. I'm pretty strict on these deadlines, so get it in. MFBA is the Master of Fine Business Arts. The idea is if you want to take your creative career to the next level, if you feel like, you know, you've worked really hard on your portfolio and you just need a breakthrough either in your creative voice, your artistic voice, it doesn't feel as unique as you think it should be. You need outside perspective and collaboration in terms of coming up with where to take your work, if you need to position it differently in the market, if you need to break into a new market. If you need that big leap, that accelerated growth, this class is for you. We do video classes. You get feedback from the other students. We get guest feedback. And I will be speaking directly with you on a regular basis to try to help you take it to the next level. The first 10 that I did last semester, it went incredible. You can check out all their testimonials on the site. Go to creativepeptalk.com/MFBA, and you can find out more there. Thanks to all those that already signed up. I can't wait to get started. We're going to start early February. Boom, baby. Go check it out. Let's get into the interview with Yao Chang. You're going to love it. You know, I'm a massive fan of your work. I think it's fantastic. I love that. I feel like every image feels like it's getting ready to move.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good way to describe it.
Yeah.
That's a really good way to describe it.
Is that on purpose?
No, but it's intuitive, probably something on the intuitive side.
Yeah. I like it. Just feels like it almost, I know that they're actual watercolors that are finished, but it almost feels like a photograph of a moment in where the colors are bleeding, and I love that about it.
Well, it's so much more about the process.
I wanted to ask you about that, actually.
Product. I mean, it is about the finished product. We strive to make a beautiful finished piece or product, but for me, what I love about watercolor, what I always try and capture, is the fleeting moments of actually painting. Mm-hmm. I always think of my watercolors as a photograph of that specific moment. It's like I'm trying to archive it in a photograph way, but in a very abstract way. That was a very vague way of describing it. But it's what you said. Like, it's about trying to capture, like, that intuitive, impromptu moment of when I'm painting and I'm seeing everything bleed, and it's like, yes, I want to show people that.
Yes, and I think it does that exactly, because when I look at it, I always think it reminds me of doing watercolor.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know, I wanted to have you actually describe what it was like when you were in the zone painting. Like, what does it look like? What do you? Where are you at?
Oh my God! What does it look like? Mary, I can tell you that. Well, one, I have no idea what's going on around me.
Yeah. Do you do headphones?
I usually have music. Yes.
Yeah.
Music. Music is a big part.
What do you listen to?
The painting. It's been a long time since maternity leave has really like put a gap into my process. Mm. But who was I listening to before? I don't know. I listen to a lot of... I'll have to look this up. But music with, like, very strong, distinct beats. Mm. Because I like to get into the rhythm of what I'm listening to, and it helps...
Like motion, inform, like it's...
Yeah, it helps inform me of the tempo of how what I'm painting, how I'm painting it.
Yeah.
You I like paint get really into quickly.
The groove, like a DJ painting. Yeah.
Yes!
No, I know what you mean. I know this feeling.
Oh, it's such a great feeling.
Yeah.
When you're like really sucked into it, and you like kind of, I kind of fall into that world. I mean, I've been painting watercolor for years, but I still love it just as much as I did the first time. I really do. I mean, it sounds corny, but I really do.
No, it's
just,
corny.
It's so cool. It's such a fluid medium, and it can do so many different things. Mm. And I think just being creative in general, I love falling into that world and kind of getting lost in it. But there's paintings everywhere.
Yeah.
Like on the floor.
Yeah.
On the tables. I have multiple tables, but I inevitably end up using all of them. Right. And it's just piled with half-finished paintings, paintings that I do like 3-4 versions of, which happens a lot with my art prints. End up painting like multiple versions of it.
Are you using everything you're making, or is there a lot of like experiments that don't get used?
A lot of it does not get used.
Yeah. So you're just kind of intuitively making things and seeing
because
like
I
connections.
Don't it's I think a large part it's because I don't sketch with pen and paper. Or pencil and paper. It's just part of my process.
Impromptu.
Yes.
Making. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just, I want to jump right into brush and paints. Because especially with watercolor, it's such a hard medium to depict in black and white pencil.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the characters of it comes with the blends and the bleeds. You just cannot depict it. And so whenever I send it to clients, I'm always like, this is not... It's
when
just
you
for
do
layout.
Send sketches.
Right.
Yeah.
When I do client work, it's like, okay, I'm sending you sketches, but it's going to look very different. But so because I don't sketch with pen and paper, I end up doing sketches in watercolor. And it's also a really great way to force myself to not put so much expectation on the finished painting.
Yeah.
Because it could very well be version 1 of 5. Mm. So I don't need to sit in front of a white piece of paper and think this has to be like the finished thing and it has to be perfect. And I think when you put so much expectation on something, it doesn't take you to places that are as unexpected. Mm. And those are usually the ones that turn out to be the best pieces.
Yeah.
Or the ones that I'm like, I don't really know where this is going to go, but let's just see what happens. And if I end up painting this 3 times, that's okay.
That's amazing because when I look at your work, that's kind of what I assumed was happening, was you would be, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're making a lot of stuff and you're following the rabbit trail of new things that are happening and then exploring that again and trying it again. Because the thing I really like about your work is that the watercolor aspect
and the aspect of it being fluid and I don't know, everything blending, that always is there, but I'm always kind of blown away by the different ways that you approach that same thing. When I always think, man, the only way I can imagine you coming up with that idea is through just happenstance, trying all kinds of different things. Mm-hmm. I really like the one on your website right now where it's like circles, perfect circles that are bleeding into each other.
Yeah, those are awesome.
So good.
I love them.
Yeah,
me too. They're so simple, and it's like I was trying to simplify. It wasn't about the shapes. Mm-hmm. It was about what was happening inside the shapes. Mm-hmm. And it's like the best characteristic of watercolors and medium, and really wanted to just showcase that.
Yes.
And they're so fun to do.
Do you feel like it's a meditative process?
It's so meditative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And does it feel, you know, I think...
it really is, yeah.
I know that you, based on listening to the other podcasts you've been on, that you originally wanted to go into fine art.
Yeah.
But do you feel like when you're doing, because I know these all have commercial applications, but while you're making it, does it feel like a meaningful experience to you?
That's a hard question to answer because I'm thinking of a lot of different things. Try and answer
That's
that
good.
Question. Yeah, I don't know if I think of them as fine art paintings, like in a gallery, because I don't put so much... There are a few that I love, and I absolutely treasure them for certain sentimental reasons, but for the most part, because I don't spend weeks and weeks making a painting, I'm not as tied to any one painting.
Yeah.
So they don't feel really near and dear to me. In some ways. In other ways, I love what's happening in some of the paintings. I'm really proud of the work that I do, but I don't know. I think it's just that I don't spend so much time on it that it's also okay that they have commercial applications and I'm kind of done with it when I'm done with it. Art prints is definitely, especially landscapes, is definitely the one opportunity where I really do see them more as fine art than other pieces. Like, and it depends on what I'm painting things for. So if I'm painting three pieces for new art prints, then I will try and make them into finished paintings. But in other cases where it's for a product, like that we turn into a pattern, or if it's a wedding stationery, I will actually not even paint a finished one composition layout. It might be like different clusters that later get assembled just because of due to the nature of what I'm doing. So,
but do you feel like, so even if you, because I think what you're saying is like the final product maybe doesn't feel like fine art to you, but does the experience of making it feel similar? Like when you're making it, do you feel like you're making something meaningful to you? Like, you know,
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what art is about.
True. Right? But I think there's a lot of illustrators and designers that don't feel like that. But for me, and the reason I ask you that is because when I look at something like that circle print, for me, I instantly attribute all kinds of meaning to the way that things are blending and there's symbolism and things happening. Yeah. And I just imagine as you're doing it, that it must feel very visceral and like.
Yeah. In like those terms. Yeah. Yes. I do feel I have a very physical, emotional reaction to the work that I do. And that's why I love what I do and I continue doing it. I don't think every painting has all these layers of philosophical meaning and whatever imposed onto them, because it might just be like a moment or a feeling I want to capture, and that's just what it is, and it's very honest in that way, and I try and always approach my work in a very honest manner. So it's never, I'm never trying to like be something or paint like someone, or I'm always just going off of what I want and what I'm excited about. But yeah, I mean, some things have more levels of meaning than others. It just depends.
Yeah.
It just depends.
I just like it because I think there's a...
But it always makes me happy.
Yeah.
It always brings me joy. And I think that's so important.
Yes.
To people who want to make art or are artists, but they feel like certain... in certain industries or like people in fine art galleries may judge your work in one way versus an illustrator or I don't know. Or
yeah, it's just, no, I know what you mean.
But I think in the end it doesn't matter.
No.
Because as long as you love what you do.
Yes.
Then that's all that matters.
And that's what fascinates me about your work. And that's what's so inspiring. And also something I always push the people I work with, the creative people, the students and everything is like, don't get hung up on the end result.
Yeah.
Focus on when you're in the process, you're enjoying it.
Yes.
It's giving you life. You're excited about it. And I feel like you've done such a perfect job of finding the sweet spot of like, while you're making, you feel creative. You feel that cathartic experience of making stuff. Mm-hmm. But you've framed it in a way where it's commercially viable and it can pay your bills and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. And to be honest, from the beginning, that was it's very vague because I can't really define myself in one area or the other.
Yeah.
Like, I can't say I'm a graphic designer and I'm not an illustrator and I'm not a fine artist.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a mix of
all
these things.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And in the beginning, it was really scary because I never really knew how to sell my work to clients. Like, this is what I do. I can't really describe what I do
because
I do a little bit of everything. But yeah, it has become like a sweet spot, and it's nice to be able to have certain areas be commercially available to people. And also that means that more people get to enjoy it than just a gallery space.
Yeah.
And it pays the bills, and then it helps pay for me to do other projects that maybe are less financially viable, but something that I'm more passionate about or...
Yeah.
I don't know. There's different facets to it. Mm-hmm. And the more years that I've come to building this business, the more I'm figuring out what the purpose of having different facets of my business mean to me and how it's helping me grow as a business and be sustainable.
You said I'd like to come back to that, but I don't want to miss this thing of early on, I wonder if knowing that you didn't fit into any category, did that make you uneasy? Like in college and I don't know, even in work early on, where you felt like, I don't feel like a graphic designer. I don't feel like an illustrator. I don't know where this is. So for me, it's like, I had a lot of those things where I always felt like everything I was doing felt like an act of faith of like, this is going to take me somewhere I don't understand. Did it feel like that early on where you didn't click with the mindset of any particular market?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was very scary. I mean, starting a small business is scary.
True.
But yes, I went on the faith that this is what I love to do. And this is honestly the work that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not trying to be a graphic designer or like a full on illustrator. This is just the work that I do and what I'm passionate about. And I hope that other people, can feel the same way about what I do.
Mm.
That's the only thing I can do, and so I kind of just went off of that. But yeah, it's very risky, but it was a very instinctual move. I mean, I wouldn't know how to do it any other way though.
It's not like you had a bunch of other options, but I just I think early on for me, I think finding your way when you don't, some people just are graphic designers,
right? That's
true.
And it's very easy to define, okay, this is what I'm gonna do.
Yes.
I didn't know the area, but I knew the medium, and I knew the product to start with. I knew
that was the breakthrough for you.
Yeah.
It was watercolor.
I was like, yes, this speaks to me, like on so many levels and in a very instinctual, intuitive way that I just loved. So I knew it was going to be watercolor. I had a pretty good idea. It was going to be art prints.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it didn't start with art prints. It started with Pysanky eggs, which is really funny looking back.
What is that?
Pysanky eggs is a traditional Ukrainian, what would you call it? A Ukrainian technique of painting eggs.
Yeah.
during Easter time.
Right, okay.
And it's a combination of painting and making patterns with painting with wax, and then dipping in different colors of dye.
Right.
And so then the end picture is this really beautiful painted egg and like colorful patterns. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was going to be that, but then that wasn't received very well at craft shows, and it just took too long. It was too time intensive, and I couldn't charge enough for it.
Right, yeah.
But I went back to what I love. I asked myself what I loved most about what I was doing, and it always came back to painting. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, what's the most straightforward and honest and direct way of showcasing that? Well, art prints.
Yeah.
Because it's like a direct translation. Mm-hmm. So I started with that, and that seemed to take off, and then that kind of like built in on itself into other products and whatever and onwards. But yeah.
Big shout out to our sponsor, AstroPad. So AstroPad just released this subscription-based version of their app called AstroPad Studio, and it's for the pros. I've been playing around with it. I'm loving how the brushes are working in Photoshop, and I think, you know, if you're just doing some basic functions like mouse functions, but you like to do it with a pencil, you probably don't need AstroPad Studio. But if you're getting in there with the brushes and you're trying to get that nuanced effect in Photoshop, I would suggest checking it out. Try the free trial. It's super, super awesome. I think that they've leveled up the whole app. So go check it out at astropad.com. Thanks, AstroPad.
So I wanted to know if you could just tell us the story of how you discovered watercolor as a thing. Because you went to RISD, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't teach it there?
I mean, they did in the illustration department.
But not in your department?
No.
What were you studying?
Textiles.
Textiles, right.
Actually, watercolor was not really a medium they really...
respected?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I know. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. I think they thought it was too illustration or commercial, or no, I don't know.
Yeah.
When I was in the painting department, it was mostly oils and acrylics.
Mm-hmm. And you'd done that since you were a teenager?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since high school.
Yeah.
And I loved oil painting, but it is completely different from watercolor.
Mm-hmm.
I happened on watercolor. So I was working at the time at a large corporate fashion company here in town. And I was the only person on the team that was creating original artwork that sometimes made it into fabrics for our clothing line. So... it was wonderful to have those days where I really could just sit at my desk for 8 hours and paint.
Why did they let you do that?
Because sometimes we needed original artwork versus vintage work or designs that patterns that we bought from other companies.
And they knew that you did that, that you made stuff?
Right. Yeah. They knew that I had a painting background so that I could just create whatever it is that's more custom to what we needed.
Mm-hmm.
So I was playing around with different mediums, and a friend of mine, actually, who also went to RISD, worked there as well, and he was an illustrator. He did a lot of watercolor, and I was like, well, you know, I've never tried watercolor. I did a lot of gouache painting, but I was just, it was too flat for me. It was like, I don't know.
Not
just
alive
like,
enough.
Yeah, it was just too graphic, and it was just like, all the layers, and I don't know. I think it just took too long, to be honest.
Yeah.
And so I was really in a creative rut. I really started to feel like I needed to go back to painting again. And so I kind of did it as like a sideline hobby and just a creative outlet from work. And he took me out one day and we just like sat in the park and painted.
Mm.
And it was a really frustrating medium in the beginning. I hated it. Mm. It was like, I don't understand what's happening. I'm a big control freak.
Yeah.
I'm very OCD about things. I think most small business owners are.
Yeah.
So I couldn't control anything. Mm. And it was like all over the place, and I didn't understand like the bleeds and how to work with it and not work with it, actually. But after a while, it kind of just clicked. I think there was a moment where he was like, okay, so we're going to take, you're going to dip your brush once for this whole painting. You're going to dip it once in pigment.
Yeah.
And that is all the pigment you're allowed to use for this entire piece. But you have to use water to dilute it into different areas. And so it really pushed me into like learning about how to use water to really like make it come alive and do what it does best. And it just like, I don't know, it just like clicked with me one day, and I was like, whoa, this is really cool. You can, a little bit of pigment can go so far. You can really push the range of opacity and versus opaqueness with it. And it was just, it was really cool. The translucency versus something super dense.
Yeah.
I think it was really neat about it, so.
I feel like if your life was a movie, that moment would be like a montage of you getting frustrated with a bunch of materials, and there would be this.
And then a light bulb?
Yoda moment where he's like, just dip the brush once.
And then a light bulb goes, ding! Yeah. No. Yeah. That would be really cheesy.
But I like, no, it would be that. But I like.
But it did really, yeah, it did click with me like that.
Yeah. I think what's interesting about your paintings is that they are very controlled chaos.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's such a good way of describing it.
And I love that because you can see there's such intentionality. The borders are, you know, stark contrast, but then there's all kinds of life and stuff happening within all the shapes. Yeah.
Well, you need rules. Mm-hmm. I need boundaries to work within, but also to push out of.
Yes.
I need that the two together working with each other, pushing and pulling one way or the other. Between being completely free and having rules to work within.
Yes. I talk to people all the time about running towards, you know, where you hit a brick wall or a contradiction or an obstacle, because it forces you to make a decision. So all these rules and everything, you're
right.
Yeah, it helps that flow, I think. Yeah.
Or else the possibility is
overwhelming and can be terrible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's why I love painting abstracts, because I love geometry.
Yeah.
And I love that there's grids that I have to abide by.
Yes, yeah.
But I don't paint with a ruler or tape in most cases, unless they're edges. So I like that I have rules that I have to paint in, but I paint with a brush so the shapes are in itself organic, but they make into patterns like hexagonal shapes or whatever. I don't know. It's a really interesting, what's the word? It's an interesting dance between the two. And I like to flip-flop.
And it's very like evident. It seems like a big part of your process. So one of the things I see a lot is like people get out of school and they want to go straight into being an artist or being whatever. And I wonder, did you think that the anonymity that you had being in this corporate environment, in-house design, no one knew you were working there, you know, in terms of your art on the outside. Yeah. Do you think that that was a safe place for you to mess around and make stuff that you wouldn't have made under your own name, like people watching you? Like, I wonder if you would have, if you would have went right from RISD to starting your own business, whether you would have had the safety to mess around
really
with watercolor and because you were probably trying a bunch of things.
That's a really interesting perspective. I never thought of it that way, but I think there is a connection. I don't think it has to do with safety. I think it has to do with a desperation for being creative again.
Oh,
I think I was so suppressed in terms of being a creative person that I kind of just like did whatever. I was like, I need to just start somewhere, and I don't really care where it is or what I'm doing. I just need to start somewhere and go with it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I just started my business. I just kind of jumped into it. I knew that I loved watercolor and I wanted to paint. And then whatever came out of that was okay with me. At least it was something that I tried and wouldn't have regrets with later on. But I don't know if it was a safety thing.
But were you making stuff that you knew no one would know you made?
No.
Like if like I mean the general public. Like if they bought it in the store.
You mean when I was at my full-time job?
Yeah.
I really wasn't making very much at all.
Right, okay.
Aside from learning to paint with watercolor,
yeah,
I really wasn't making very much
okay.
of things.
Yeah.
I was more saving of money because yeah. I was planning
yep.
on leave. And then I left, and then that's when I was like, okay, I have the time. I'm going to start making things. All these ideas swimming in my head kind of just like...
How much were you making stuff compared to how much you make stuff now?
Oh my gosh, I was making so much more stuff.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
That's my first impression, because I had so much more time to paint.
So what's your time spent now doing?
Running the business.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I understand that.
Talking with clients, and I do spend a fair amount of time designing for client work and products and whatever, but actually painting, maybe 20% of my time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Probably it's more like 10%.
Do you like, is that a balance that's fine with you?
No.
No.
I would love for it to be flip-flopped, and I'm working towards that. It's incredibly challenging building a small business, especially a creative one, because we're all such individuals, so we all have very different ways of building a business. So there's no manual for how to do things.
True.
And because of that, I'm trying to figure out my process and my timeline in terms of when my business should grow and how it should grow. So, but I'm hoping to get to a point where I can walk into the office and everybody has their job in running, helping me run this business, and I can just sit on my desk and paint. You know, I have a set of projects in front of me that I know I need to work on, and painting is my primary focus for the day.
Yep.
So I'm working towards that, but I think in the near future, that's not realistic.
Right.
So, yeah.
So what, can you tell us a little bit about what your business looks like on a day-to-day basis now? Like, what kind of stuff are you spending your time on? I'm just interested in, like, you know, because you do a lot of products, but you also do collaborations with brands and then client work. How do you, what does it look like to juggle all of that? What are you doing on Monday, on Tuesday? Like, what does it look like?
I do a lot of things. Emails take up a lot of time.
Yeah.
So I kind of just only designate certain days to emails.
That's good.
Yeah. Or else it would take over my life and I would get nothing done.
Yeah.
I definitely can't do this alone. I learned that about 2 years ago. Actually, I knew that 3 years ago.
Right.
You can't do this alone.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, it's a mix of answering emails and looking over agreements and consultation meeting, phone conversations with clients, and then figuring out, planning out new products, figuring out new packaging design, and oh my gosh, it's everywhere. And then throw tax and payroll into that.
No, don't say taxes. If you're a freelancer, I feel like tax is one of your main trigger words.
Yes,
I hear taxes. It is such a
payroll is my new trigger word. Yeah. I'm like,
I can imagine.
So that's fun.
Yeah.
What
do you like about the business side? Is there any part of it that you like that maybe you didn't expect to like, or?
I certainly know way too much about taxes that I've never expected to know or care to know.
Gosh, I told you to quit saying that word.
Sorry, trigger word. I love that I have full control over where it goes. That is the true freedom of running your own business.
Yes.
Is that you can take it wherever you want. Well, with certain constraints, but you can, for the most part, control how you want to shape your business. I think that's really interesting. I actually really like understanding, like, I don't know if it's psychology is the right word, or just figuring out, like, what people like and don't like, and how to market ourselves and brand this business, and how to, I don't know, how to allocate, like, time to certain parts of the business, but balance, but not put all my eggs in one basket.
Yeah. It's so a complex puzzle.
It's a really big puzzle, but it's really interesting sometimes.
Yeah, it can, you know, as long when things are rough, it's stressful. But when they're not, it can feel really fluid and, you know, lots of things happening and you can shift your energies and, you know, do you feel, I feel like a lot of times, like, artists get hung up with this idea of their work being all about them. And do you feel that your work is just as much like a collaborative thing with the people who want it? Like you're taking influence by what they're liking? Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're comfortable with that. You said you like
that. Well, I love that. Yeah. I love that I have both. I love that I have the product side. This is intentional, where it's almost 100% my perspective and what I want.
Yeah.
And then I have the client side, where I work with clients, especially with our brides, for our wedding invitations. It's definitely a collaborative process where they tell me what they need and I spin my take on it. And those are the best projects.
There's going to be some coffee pouring right now. So that's what that is. You're not going to have any, I guess. This is my whole pot.
Yes, I've already had a cup. Right. You can go to town on that.
Yeah.
But I love that about doing client work is it a lot of times it pushes me into doing things that I never thought of before.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. And most of the time I love the end result. It's very surprising and unexpected.
Mm.
So I like that I like that I've structured my business to have both.
Yes.
But it also makes for a very chaotic, a even more complicated puzzle to put together, because we have income coming in a lot of different places and a lot of different systems have to be built to accommodate all of it.
Yeah.
So.
Do you get bored easily?
Yes. Yeah. Which is why I have my own business.
I know. That's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Also why I like being a business owner is because I never do the same thing for longer than like 3 hours. Unless it's painting, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I didn't like about having a full-time job designing for a corporate company. It was just, I felt like I was doing the same thing over and over year in and year out. And it really wasn't pushing me to grow and wasn't learning anything new. So this, on the other hand, I feel like I've grown significantly every year in different ways. When it was just myself, I learned so much about customer service and how to relate with other people, talk with clients, read legal documents, like running a business really in general. And then hiring someone on, I've learned now how to be a boss, how to delegate, how to focus on the things that I want to do versus trying to do everything, which is not possible with one person.
Yeah.
So,
I think what I hear you saying, and it's, I get the question all the time. I have another podcast that's I make for an app that pays me to do that. It's called Ask a Freelancer. And I get that question all the time of, should I be a freelancer? You know, what is the freelancer like? Or should I start my own business? And I do find that those two things seem to be qualities of people that have to do their own thing, which is they need autonomy to make decisions on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And they also get bored easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
they don't take directions very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially if it's, I think that there's something for me, it's at least connected to feeling there's something when you're challenged, there's something that feels meaningful about that. And when you're not, it's that monotony, that meaninglessness that just makes you go freaking crazy. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's definitely okay if that's what you're looking for.
Lots of people are actually totally fine
in
that zone, and that's totally fine.
That's great.
Yes. Actually, I'm happy. I'm like, good.
Yes.
We don't need all these people like us being crazy and starting their
own thing.
You
have to be a little crazy.
Yeah, you do. I think you do. Mm-hmm.
I hate replying to emails when people ask me that with that sentence.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it gives them the wrong impression.
Right.
But I think it's the honest truth that you have to be a little bit, not crazy maybe is the wrong word, but you have to be really passionate about what you are trying to do. Like you have to love it 120%.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of days where it's really grueling and really hard.
Yes.
And those are the moments where you have to remind yourself why you're doing what you're mm-hmm. doing.
Why are you doing what you're doing?
Because I love painting. Mm. I love it. It gives me so much joy when I'm in the zone and I'm creating something totally unique on paper that's totally mine, and I get to see it come to life. Mm. I don't know why. I just love it. It just makes me really happy.
Yeah.
And back to it being a very meditative thing for me, it definitely is, and it's also very therapeutic.
Yes.
So through every aspect of my life, from when I was really small, I've been drawing and painting, and it's always been the thing in my life that has helped me through issues and life struggles and everything.
Yeah.
So that's why I do what I do.
Yep.
Or else I would get a normal 9-to-5 job. It would be so much easier. Mm. But it's not about that for me. I want to wake up knowing that I worked really hard at something that I'm proud of and that I really do love.
Yes. I have a friend named Will Bryant, who's an illustrator, and he had this lettering piece that said, "I make stuff because if I don't, I get sad." And I feel that way all the time. I've noticed recently, even though, that there's a direct correlation between when in a day I've made something I'm excited about, those are my best days. So I try to do that more days. I don't know what it is, but there's something, mm-hmm. there's a level of, I'm sure there's part of it that's even unhealthy. I don't know. Of like, I did a thing today that was worth something.
Yeah.
And I really am happy that I made something.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's exhilarating.
It is.
I love those days.
Me too.
That's why I want more of them.
Yes. So what are you going to do? What do you have, like, a plan to take it to the next level, get more employees and all that?
I do. I'm actually in the early stages of trying to gather more information as to what I'm looking for, but I would love to hire a third person on this year. That's my big goal for the year. Yep. I really think it's time.
Yeah.
Because I spend so much of my time running the business, I don't have enough time to create new work. And when I do, it's not long enough to really become something that I just feel like, yes, this is it.
Yeah.
I kind of get there, and I feel like if I had the time to paint two more versions of this, then it could be something like even better.
Yes. Yeah.
But I don't have the time to get there. Mm. Because it takes, you know, as a creative, it takes, what, a day, 2 days, a week, just to get into the zone?
Yes, yeah, true.
And then you need another week to be in that zone and to like figure things out. Because your ideas are like swimming all over the place, and you got to put it down on paper and then sort it through. So it takes a long time to get to anywhere really amazing. Mm-hmm. So
for creative stuff to happen, to creativity to really happen, it requires time and space where there is no, where, you know, the outcome is not needed quickly.
Yes.
And it needs to grow organically. And I think, I keep saying to people,
you can't force it.
No, you can't force it. You have to follow it, and it needs its space to breathe. And I think that is a tricky thing when you're in the commercial world, is there's a lot of time where there's a deadline.
Right.
Like, okay,
you don't,
it's
right.
done. There it is. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I know.
I know, it could have been so much better. Yeah.
And that's tough. But I think an interesting principle there that is really great is another thing. If you're listening and you're thinking, should I be a freelancer? Should I start my own business? I think if your motivation is more money, I would say no.
Yeah.
If your motivation is, how do I create more time and space over my lifetime, creating the maximum time and space to create? Because that's what it sounds like you're doing.
Yeah.
Where every year you're trying to build in more time in that zone.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I love that. So, okay, that's pretty much all I had, but one last question.
Okay.
Is if you were, I know there's a lot of people that would like to have a similar type of business to you, doing art prints and paintings and in that world. What's the biggest piece of advice that you could give someone who's thinking about going into that or is in it and is struggling to make it work? What's something that you wish you would have known before you got started?
Well, one, don't research too much into it, or else you'll be too freaked out to even start. And you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, true. Yep.
So I did very little research, and I was like, I'm just going to do it and see
what
happens.
Ignorance is powerful.
Yes.
Totally.
I mean, I don't mean to give off the impression that I literally just quit my job and I'd done no research and I just kind of did it. Of course, I did all the legal stuff with registering as a business and all the paperwork and figuring out a boilerplate for contracts and all of that stuff. But I didn't spend months like obsessing about every little thing that I could possibly come across.
Yep.
Because that, I think, would have been too debilitating for me. Mm-hmm. I would have been too freaked out.
Research is often a form of procrastination.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, my biggest form of research in starting this business was listening to Debbie Millman's podcast.
Fantastic. I'm a big fan.
Because it was really great, like we're doing today. Like, it was really great just to hear about all these different creative stories, because mm-hmm. they're all so different. And it was good to know. It was comforting to know that there's so many different avenues of getting there.
Yeah.
I would say you have to ask yourself how much you love doing this.
Mm.
Like, you really have to love it so much.
Yes.
And I think, I don't know, I'm a big believer that as long as you love what you do and it's something you work really hard at it because you're passionate about sharing it with other people, and you work hard every day to get to that goal, I think it will be successful on its own time.
Yep.
I think the internet is an amazing phenomenon where it's crazy, like the type of inquiries that I've gotten from different places.
Yeah.
Just because your work is out there. So put your work out there, and you have to just, but I do think that the main thing is how much do you love doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't taken a business class, probably a good idea. I'm saying this from a person who didn't.
Yeah.
And was like, what's a boilerplate? I don't even know what that is. And then, you know, taxes and figuring out packaging costs and all of that that comes with retail. I mean, there's so much. And I definitely think it's also a process, and to not be too hard on yourself to think that it's all going to happen in one day, because it's not.
Yep.
Everything, when it's built from scratch, takes a lot of time to come together, to make those systems, to figure out. And so I think it's okay to pat yourself on the back sometimes and say, hey, you know, this is really hard what I'm doing, and I just have to take it one day at a time, but.
That's really good. I think, you know, one thing that helped me early on, you know, the first couple of years, I spent so much time kind of beating myself up about different struggles that I was having of, like, making it work. And I think one thing that helped me was getting connected with people that are starting small businesses out of the creative realm, and just having, because I think in creativity, a lot of the people that are doing well make it look so easy, right? They make it look like it's the fanciest, just easiest. Yeah, it just happens, and it's a celebration every day. But getting to know that small businesses, you know, the amount of small businesses that fail, the amount that aren't profitable for the first several years, like all these things of like what you said, what you're doing is a significantly difficult undertaking.
Yes.
And, you know, to give yourself credit when you do something well, or you make any progress in that realm.
Even if it's really small and no one else knows about it except you.
Yeah.
That does remind me of another piece of advice, which is to keep your overhead cost low.
Yeah.
Especially if you're starting out as a freelancer or doing a business like...
See ya.
Bye.
Mine.
Bye.
You don't need that much to start.
Yeah, that's good advice.
And I think it's really smart to do this because you don't know what it is that people are going to gravitate towards. You don't really know in the beginning. you kind of just have to throw a bunch of different things at the wall and just see what happens. Mm-hmm. So it's not worth investing a lot of money in expensive equipment. Because in the end, they're just equipment, they're just tools. Yeah. Like, what is going to come through is the quality of your work. Mm-hmm. And you don't need fancy tools for that.
True,
yeah. I mean, get a good scanner.
Yeah, true.
Definitely get a good scanner. But other than that, you don't need a lot of fancy things. Mm. And so, but I've, one of the things I'm most proud of in building this business, I can't believe it's been almost 5 years, going on 5 years now, is that
congrats. That's awesome.
Thanks. Yeah. I didn't have to take a loan out for any part of this.
Yes.
Every part of this business and the space that we're sitting in today.
Which is amazing.
Everything that you see here was built by the money that I made.
Just on grassroots. My own.
Grassroots. Totally. Yes. Brick by brick. Mm-hmm. Little by little. And I love that because it forces me not to grow too quickly.
Yes.
And I think that's seems like a common problem with small businesses.
True, yeah. They get this investment or they take out a loan and there's all this pressure for growth. And
incredible opportunities.
Yeah, right.
Right? Yeah. I mean, they are incredible.
Right, yeah.
But the problem is those opportunities are very attractive, but sometimes you miss building up the foundation to that. And so then what happens is you don't have a good foundation and things that gets built on top of that doesn't work so well in the long term. And I'm looking at this in the long run. I'm not looking to make a business happen for 5-10 years.
Yeah.
This is it for me. Like, I want to do this until I can't anymore. Mm-hmm. And whatever that means. I don't know what this is going to look like in 30 years.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it's going to look like in two more years. But what I'm saying is, because I didn't take out any loan of any sort, I didn't have investors backing me. I didn't take out a bank loan.
Yep.
I'm really proud of everything that I've built this with. And it takes me and it gives me full autonomy to continue growing in the way that I want to grow because I don't have anybody that I need to, respond to.
You don't have to answer to anybody.
Answer to anyone.
And I love that because I think you're describing. My experience has been the same, and it's what I would tell other people to do is see it as in this ongoing experiment where you're trying to, early on, you're trying to see what sticks. I think if you have that.
And be open-minded to what doesn't stick.
True. Yeah, totally. But I
think
that
I
love that idea of that experimental openness that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And building. Going where it leads you rather than now you have this loan and you have to answer to someone who needs a profit, which is going to kill your creativity.
Yeah, because you think you know what you want this business to be. I thought my business was going to be Pysanky Eggs, and I would not be here today if I continued doing that.
Just think if you got a loan to
to
kickstart that.
I know.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, exactly. That's
right. And I think growing too quickly is another thing that a lot of people make the mistake of. And that I'm probably too overly cautious of, but I'm very aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
Because I only grow when I'm able to generate enough income to grow.
Yeah.
So
I feel like you should try to be kind of bursting at the seams for every growth, like
you should.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Like I talked about hiring my first full-time employee. About a year and a half before I actually hired someone.
Yes.
Because I was just bursting at the seam, and it got to the point where it was just like, I have to hire someone. Yeah. This isn't going to happen anymore.
Was that overwhelming?
I've maxed
doing
out.
That?
It was.
Yeah.
It was. I'm so glad I did it. It was very scary to do, just as it's very scary for me to hire another one on now. But I'm really glad I did it because it gave me room to do things that I wasn't able to do before. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like I'm back in that place again where there's still a lot of things I want to do, but I just don't have the time to do it.
Yep. And that's an ebb and flow rhythm of the business. Yeah, that's awesome. And I think it's also another interesting note because I think because you have parts of your business that can scale, like selling prints and things.
Yes.
Like a lot of people that are illustrators, more purely illustrators, are working on commission to commission. And there isn't that margin to get employees always, because it's always directly related to the time they spend. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it's interesting to know the difference of what kind of business you're in.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, because I think of, at the top of my head, I think of Lisa Congdon, who is a full-time illustrator, but she does have a full-time employee.
Recently,
that's true.
Yeah.
So you're right. There, it is a different business model. But
she has a lot of things that can scale too, because she does a lot of classes.
And she does books and...
And books, yeah.
Right, so it's not just purely illustration jobs.
I think it's tricky. If you're working commission to commission, it's a tricky thing to have that enough margin to hire somebody. But I don't know.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think that's true. But you can always branch out to product side.
True, yeah.
To help with that. But I don't know. It just depends on what you want. Yeah, I mean, I recently birthed a human being.
Congrats.
Thank you. He's really cute.
Man, I can't.
That was 5 months ago. He's really cute.
That's awesome.
But that's really like thrown like a whole new thing into my business. In a direction that I never really had to deal with before. But because I've had to say no to so many projects in the last couple of months, it's the first time in like 4 years, which 4 or 5 years, which I'm really grateful for, that I've had consistent work up until this point, but where it's like, okay, what's going on? You know? And it's very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
what kind of thoughts come through your head?
Oh man, am I gonna have a business in a year? Is this gonna continue to happen?
Oh my gosh.
How do I pay all the bills? Am I gonna be irrelevant? I feel like that should be another trigger
that's
word.
Hilarious. That's hilarious.
Is no one gonna know about me anymore because I'm not constantly out in the internet sphere?
Yep.
I think that's not realistic.
No.
Because there's always new work to be done. But it feels that way.
True.
And so I panic when there's not enough work, and I panic when there's too much work because there's not enough time to do it.
Yep.
So I think that's just the nature of having a small business, is you can't ever be too comfortable.
You're in control of the ship, and it's on your head too. Yeah. So it's
totally responsible for it. But yeah, I mean, that's why we run small businesses, right?
Right.
Is because
for
like we didn't want
it's a, I mean, part of the thrill is why it's not boring.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so you can't be comfortable, because if it's comfortable, then it's not
boring.
Interesting anymore. Yeah. But we always complain about it.
I know. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But I had the same thing happen in 2016. So 2015, I was so busy that I thought, I need to do this differently. Because I was like...
You were hating your
life? I was
hating
it.
You were hating your job?
I was hating it.
I like, felt that way too.
Yeah. Where I was so busy, and I felt like all these clients owned me, and I just felt like I was sat in front of the computer all the time. And it was driving me nuts. So in 2016, I thought, I'm going to lean into the podcast, I'm going to create my own class, and I got an agent, and I thought, they'll help me weed out projects.
Yes.
And then
and
get better deals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which all that happened,
right?
Thankfully.
Yeah.
Great.
That sounds good.
However, This is the twist in the plot, is that he helped me get say no to a lot of projects that were not great deals. He got better deals for me. But because I'm less busy, even though out of choice, I still in my heart am like, it's over.
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
So dramatic, but it is.
It is totally crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I guess I do think for me, I've tried to... You articulated it really well, sensibly. I'm probably more extreme and emotional than you.
No, I'm very inside. I'm very panicked about it.
Yeah, I try to think. I do think it's a good note of like trying to find some contentment within that roller coaster, separating yourself from it, and be like, this is why you do this, because it's crazy and it's up and down roller coaster.
Yes.
And, yeah.
But also, it's good to have these pauses. I mean, it makes me panic, but I think in the long term, looking back, I'm going to say that it's a good thing that I had this time, because I can finally do the things that I've never had time to do.
Yes.
Like regroup my thoughts and figure out what I want out of this year or in the next 5 years, and give me a bigger perspective of the direction that I want to go.
Yep.
And gives me more time to paint.
Yep.
Like, I have to be grateful for that because yes. it's the one thing I always talk about that I want. And
more
so
time.
Here it
Why
is.
Why did I have more time?
And now that I have more time, I'm like,
Why
my
do
God.
I have so much time? That was so funny. And I think that hindsight, there's a wisdom so that I'm trying to extract the hindsight of looking back 5 years when I was first getting started and thinking, you're panicked because a billion different things aren't going right.
Right.
You know, you're trying to get everything up and running. But then you look back and you're like, man, what a great time.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. Yeah. It's so true. 2015, 2016, I was so busy and I hated it during because I was constantly
stressed. And
Yeah. But then you look back, you're like wow.
Wow, how fun was
I did. The projects that came out, it was so great. I did so much.
That's how I'm trying. I'm trying to do that too, of like in the moment, whatever the ebb and flow of it is, being like, appreciate it. It's a different thing than what you just had. It'll be different than what's coming. And
I think it's something it only comes with experience that you feel more confident about this process.
Yes.
It's definitely ebb and flow. It comes and it goes. And you, the longer you do this, the more you recognize that pattern. And you're, at least for me, I'm a little more comfortable.
Yeah,
at least I can
too.
Say to myself, I'm pretty sure this isn't like the end of my business. I'm pretty sure there's going to be an upswing at some point.
Yeah.
I can do these things while that happens. And maybe by doing these things, it will help
turn
that
into,
happen.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. I get the same with being creative.
Right.
It's the
me
same.
Too. Yes. The ebb and flows of like really creative season
and
then
just like in a rut
season,
and like creative block. You're just like, I can't, nothing's coming. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's over.
Yes. And I think trusting whichever one you're in is a good,
yeah.
is a good rule. But, there was one tangent that I wanted to go off of with that. This always happens too.
That's
They're
okay.
used to it. So,
it's okay.
What was it? But I really wanted to say you were saying about, I got it. That you, so maybe this stuff is, so one of the things I keep running into, right, is that I feel like I know a lot of things that help my business be successful, but they're kind of indirect, right? They're not, I think a lot of people are uncomfortable with what I would call marketing, because they're indirect marketing. There are all kinds of different weird things that I do that I do think contribute to me getting work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder if 5 years in, when you're in that lull, do you feel confident that you know some things that you can do that help generate that momentum?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are they?
Well, creating new work.
Yeah. True.
that sounds so silly.
It is. No, but that's my point exactly. Because it sounds, I think there's
like, duh.
Everybody wants this secret marketing technique
where
it's like, oh, and then you get this you know, this email list and you hammer this, you do this particular thing. And I'm like, probably the main thing is self-generated work. Just make more stuff.
Just make more stuff.
Get busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people will see more stuff, especially for like our social media, the people that follow us on social media. They respond best when I post new work.
Yeah.
When it's my paintings and
yep.
versus like a finished product or like or anything like that. They want to get in the zone of me painting and see the process of me creating something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in terms of marketing, definitely getting back into painting again, I know will work.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm still figuring it out. I mean, reaching out to for potential work into for potential clients is something I don't do. I haven't done a lot of, but I think is important.
But you know, you could do that.
Yes,
yeah.
And I think, for example, being on more blogs,
mm-hmm.
Doing some blog features, and being on wedding directory for blogs. That's important because it gives more eyeballs to people seeing our work.
Yeah.
So, but these are all the things that I really think hiring a third person, they can do for me.
Right.
I mean,
so you don't have to
it's
think
nice
about
to think
that.
About
yeah.
these things. It's good to think about these things, but I really would prefer if someone could just think of them for me.
Yeah.
That way I could just focus on making the work.
Making the work, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm glad we added that.
So much for listening. Thanks, Yao, for being on the podcast. It was brilliant to have you. You're amazing. Go check her workout, Yao Cheng. So good. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Go get some beautiful artwork to put in your house. You won't regret it. Don't forget, deadline for the MFBA is this Friday. Get in or be out. And come visit us at the Midwest Craft Con. Don't forget, you got a coupon. It's PEP for 20% off. Woo! That's fantastic. Guys, thank you so much for listening. I truly, truly appreciate it. Thanks to our syndicate, Illustration Age. You can find this show at illustrationage.com/creativepeptalk. Thanks to my man, Yoni Wolf, and his band Y for our theme music. They have some new tracks. Go check out those songs on Spotify. They're super good. They got an album coming out soon. Cannot wait for that. Thanks to Nate Utesh and his band Metavari for all the other tunes. You can find them at soundcloud.com/Metavari. Thank you guys for all the love and support of the podcast. I will be back next week with more pep for your step. Until then, stay pepped up.